Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Feeling lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One Sweet Tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 85. Wait, is it 85?
Sure.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. All right, talk over it. Talk over it, Jeff.
Okay, all right, Troy, I like that little extra intro. Yeah, it's episode 85, big time episode. Jeff Lowe, Troy Ballins, Ken Jack, and our guest, man of the hour, PFT commenter,
Thank you.
Or whatever you want to go by.
Executive Vice President of Football Operations, yeah. Eric Sullenberger's twin brother, Eric Sullenberger's brother, PFT commenter.
RIP to the original Eric Sullenberger.
Yeah, RIP to the original. You guys are lucky I'm on the show tonight because I got a text about 5 minutes before we started taping from a source who shall remain nameless, saying that Mike Greenberg is right around the corner from our office right now eating dinner outside with his wife and that I should come say hi. And, well, number one, that's kind of creepy if I were to just come up and try to pretend like, oh, hey, Mike, wow, that's so weird, Greeny, you're here with your wife. But I decided not to. I decided the more important thing would be to appear on your guys' podcast. So
imagine him buying Red Hook Lobster or something at Madison Square Garden. Like, oh, well, my wife tells me she doesn't like shellfish, but she really just wanted this Red Hook Lobster. I'll tell you what, folks, at the Subway Hot Take Hotline.
Do you think he refers to outside eating as al fresco dining?
Yeah, I think so.
He's definitely one of those people that would you like inside or outside? He's like, oh, I'll do al fresco tonight. And
I actually think that Greeny probably gets a little bit paranoid if he's eating in like a food court or any place that doesn't have walls around him where it's like 360 degrees of people. I think that Greeny probably has a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would too if I was him.
I have to know where the exit is at all times. And
the name of this place is Witch Witch, so I just pick up a paper bag that the sandwich I want, and then put the instructions on it. Why can't I just tell you which sandwich I want?
Go on. Did you know that you can just mark your ingredients down on a paper bag? But what if you want all the ingredients, Greeny? Golic. God,
who would you cast in a movie about Mike Greenberg and Mike Golic in their breakup?
Who was the fatter brother from Corky Romano? I'll cast him as Golic.
Okay, so Golic. Who's the dad on the Greenbergs TV show?
Oh, that's right, Jeff Garland. Yeah. Jeff Garland, yeah. Also in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, he would slay in that.
Jeff Garland would be Golic, and I'm having a hard time with Greeny. Maybe just Greeny is Greeny.
Greeny could play himself for sure. There's somebody that I'm thinking of from SNL. I mean, Jimmy Fallon could probably do a pretty good job as Greeny.
Yeah,
they're
definitely
basically the same people.
Chris Kattan as Mike Greenberg.
Edie Falco.
Okay, true.
Saw Edie Falco in a spa the other day. I was walking past a spa. She was getting her nails done.
She's doing good work.
Tony.
Nurse Jackie?
Yeah, Nurse Jackie.
Nurse Jackie, that's it.
So that's when my parents told me, hey, you got to check out the show, PFT. And I was like, yeah, what the hell, watch an episode with you. And like 15 minutes into the show, there's just a very, very intense cunnilingus scene.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like sitting on the couch next to my mom and dad. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is a really good show, guys.
Tony, you're biting on it. Tony, what are you doing?
Well, I thought some gabagool in there. Whoa.
All right, what else besides Mike Greenberg, Mike Golic, diarrhea talk? Anything else? What's been going on?
I haven't been able to play Spider-Man. I haven't been able to play it in about a week, and it's real unfortunate because I got to a really good part. So I just wanted to give my weekly update on Spider-Man for PS4 to the audience. I know you guys are vested in my progress in that game, and unfortunately, I need to disappoint and say I haven't been able to play it.
I think you lost your, like, it's your New Yorker status is like a user or loser type deal. So if you don't play Spider-Man for a week, you're no longer a New Yorker, like you said you were last time you mentioned it.
Hey, I'm web slinging over here.
Did I hear it was problematic, the new Spider-Man?
That's what some people say.
Because Spider-Man helps police.
Oh, no. Spider-Man's helping 12?
Yeah. Spider-Man is pro-cop.
He's stopping and frisking people?
Yeah. Yep.
Peter Parker here to talk to you about super predators in New York City.
Just pulling people over to get his quota up.
Actually, what it is Mayor Bloomberg's in the game, and Spider-Man is an independent contractor tasked with enforcing the soda tax, or soda ban, or whatever. And so literally half the game is you just ripping people's soda cups and cans out of their hands with your webs.
I like that.
It's really, really narrow.
The New York City, like, soda, anti-soda tax people or whatever it was, they used to do petitions that they'd have you sign when you leave the theaters in New York. That's the worst time to sign those, because whenever you leave the theater, you're like, why did I buy this fucking huge soda?
Yeah.
So, like,
too late.
Even someone like me who will buy it every time, I'm like, all right, tax it. I don't care. I'm not getting this shit anymore. But then I get it every time. But it was just, that's the wrong time to be asking for the petitions when I'm walking out of the theater.
Agreed. Yeah. Also, New York is just weird when it comes to their new straw laws, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm trying to wrap my head around it, but there are certain bodegas and stores that I go to that give me unnecessary straws all the time.
Yeah,
like they overload me with straws. Like, I'll buy a 6-pack of bottled beer, and the guy will just put a straw in the bag with me on my way out.
Sounding like a real triggered lib right now.
Yeah. Well, no, that's puzzling to me. But then on the other side, I get like an iced coffee somewhere, and they don't have a straw. I did this with Big Cat. We were on our way up to Boston to interview God in Haywood on Part of My Take. Go download it, please, if you haven't listened to it already before you resume listening to this podcast. We were driving up to Boston. We were leaving Brooklyn, and we got iced coffees at this place next to Big Cat spot, and he was like, oh yeah, we have to go to a different store to run in and get their straws because they won't sell me straws at this one. So we had to park the car illegally, leave it standing, and I had to like sprint into the store and pilfer 3 straws and take them back out to the car.
Have you ever gotten yelled at for taking too many napkins from a like casual dining or fast casual or fast food chain?
No.
Yeah, I got yelled at Chipotle earlier today, and I'd never eat Chipotle. Boy,
they saw you take the napkins and yelled at you?
I always take an absurd amount of napkins. I take like about 2 or 3 inch stack of napkins because Chipotle gets messy and it's hot. The sauce is absurdly hot sometimes, and he's like, man, that's a lot of napkins. I was like, fuck you.
Unless you're like the VP of inventory, why would you care at all?
I just paid $20 basically for a bowl with single chicken, not even double chicken. I will take as many napkins as I please.
Also, do they not realize that their food causes diarrhea, so you're going to need
more paper?
Yeah, you're going to need some extra paper to wipe off afterwards.
Eat in the woods. Who knows?
Yeah.
If you're using the recycled napkins, then what's the difference? You just say, like, look, you guys are obviously recycling them anyway. It's making its back.
Yeah.
It's making its way back into the napkin.
It's a circle, yeah.
Also, I'm one of the guys who takes a napkin and crumples it up in my hand and inadvertently holds it in my hand for a while. I don't know why I do that, but I feel like that's a total old guy move. Like, maybe it's subconsciously trying to curb palm sweat.
You're just going
to
start packing away Splenda packets in your pocket every now and then.
Is that the most old move possible?
Stealing Splenda
packets from
100%.
A restaurant? The official logo of Cracker Barrel is an old guy swiping Sweet and Low's into his pocket as he leaves.
I was going to say Sweet and Low because old people like haven't bought into Splenda yet. Sweet and Low's a brand they trust.
Exactly.
Like, they see the pink packets, they know it. Splenda's, could cause cancer or something like that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that is the official move of Cracker Barrel. The golf tee game, the general store with old candy, and old people stealing Sweet and Low's. Mm-hmm. That's what it boils down to. All right, news. Lots of trailers for big movies, too. about that? First up, probably the biggest one out of this whole lot of trailers, that's the Creed 2 trailer. Creed 2 came out on September 26th, the day we're recording right now, Wednesday, to a lot of hype and universal praise. Creed 2 trailer, lots of Dragos in there. They show a little tease of what it looks like a Son Drago training scene, which a training montage, obviously, from the Rocky with Ivan Drago, or the one where he fights him, is incredible. Where he's in the snow, where Rocky's in the snow, and then Drago's in the fucking crazy Russian gym. So I'm curious if we get a montage like that, a little ode to that movie. But what do we think? Creed 2 trailer. Trill, I'll start with you.
Well, you said Son Drago, right?
Yeah. Son Drago, like Son Goku?
So I just pictured it. I just pictured Creed 2 to be Dragon Ball Z, like when Son Drago powering up and yelling at each other.
Just screaming at the top of his lungs.
Yeah, about their footwork levels. I thought the trailer looked great, obviously. Universally, it seemed like it was praised across the board. I love the music in it. Anytime you do a remix or a reworking of that Rocky theme,
yeah,
it gets you pumped up. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. You're like, I'm jazzed up for this movie. So a masterclass in trailer editing, because it got me super hyped.
Yeah, even the first trailer did the same thing where they had a DNA from Kendrick Lamar playing, and it was lined up to him hitting the speed bag, which is dope. Trill, did you know that he has a half-brother, Ivan Drago's son? His name is Sugma. do you want
Sugma?
Yes, Sugma Balls.
What's his middle name?
I didn't know there was a middle part of that joke. Is there?
So Sugma Balls Drago?
Sugma Sticky.
Sugma, there we go. Sugma Sticky Balls.
Yeah. Did you know that his first name is Sugma and his middle name is Sticky? So would you like to ask me what the end of it is? It's balls.
It's balls,
Trill. That's a great joke. That's a classic setup.
Folks,
I haven't been this excited about a Creed release since Human Clay.
That's good. I like it.
I think Trill is more excited for Creed 3, in which Creed is going to fight Rocky's robot. Eat shit, bitch. And then he just punches him in the face. Paulie's robot. Sorry, not Rocky's robot.
Rocky bought for him. I mean, I guess technically it's Rocky's robot since he made the purchase. How shitty do you have to feel owning that robot and looking at, like, Alexa, which can do way more than that piece of shit robot?
Alexa can't deliver you cake, although I guess you could physically order a cake through Alexa, but it can't hand deliver it to you like the Rocky robot or Paulie's robot can.
Yeah, that's true. I just feel like Paulie's robot was a gigantic waste of money.
It was a huge waste of money.
Happy birthday, Paulie.
So Creed 2, people love it. Coming out in November, I believe. What?
Oh, PFT didn't get his.
Oh, you didn't get your thing in? I'm going to be honest. I went pissed during all that conversation. I didn't know. I thought we got through everyone.
No, PFT. That's fine. My take on it, I think Michael B. Jordan is just too good looking.
True.
Oh, and he's in too good of shape. I heard he's only like 5'6", though.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I heard 5'4", like Ben Wallace's height.
Yeah, 5'4". He's like 5'4". I actually don't know how tall he is, but let's get that rumor started.
Being like 6'1 or 6'2 in Hollywood, that's like being Yao Ming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a big deal.
You know what's funny is that was an actual rumor that was going around, because somebody on Twitter, they just tweeted like, yeah, all you girls are like fawning over Michael B. Jordan, but he's only 5'8". And then he quote tweeted them like, yeah, I'm 6 foot. Like, please stop. Don't spread this.
You guys have
entered. So let's jumpstart it.
Isn't Rob Riggle a giant? You guys have entered him.
I thought that he was going to be big because he looks big. He's got like a big face.
Yeah,
and
he does.
Frame. And he always wears like big clothes, like flannel and stuff. And he's very animated, so he's all over the place. But no, he's about like, I would guess Rob Riggle is 6 foot tall, maybe like 215, 220. So he's not a small guy, but he's definitely not like enormous.
That's a good tactic, I think, wearing big clothes. I actually think it's like, when a predator shows off its like stripes. That's like why I think Adam Sandler is actually 500 pounds and like 6'8".
I like that, yeah. It's very intimidating.
Everybody looked like they wore, or everybody looked like they weighed 110 pounds in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Early 2000s, too, was a big time for, like, what do you call it, capri shorts or whatever, or, like, just even the past knee jean shorts.
But Trill's right. It's like back in 1997, everybody was wearing, like, unbuttoned, short-sleeve, button-up, like, I don't know, dress shirts, you could say, but from like Abercrombie or The Gap or whatever, and then always, like, a giant white tee underneath that went down to your knees.
Yeah.
It was very straight. It would almost cover up your entire cargo shorts.
And always monochrome, like the same one color, just satin or something.
Yeah, I had this go-to outfit that was an army green pair of cargo shorts from Abercrombie or something, and then a flannel button down. But I was a big boy. I was like 5'4" and weighed like 215 pounds. Like, I was a fat kid. So, you know, nothing's worse than like a fat teenager trying to be stylish, because teen years, you shouldn't even try to be stylish to begin with. If I go back to my past self, be like, don't worry about clothes. Just wear this sweatshirt that you got like in high school from like sophomore year.
Mm-hmm. By the way, BFT is breaking down barriers right now. Most people won't see this. We're actually probably going to post a video tease. You may see it in the tease, but he's the first person to wear a tie on this podcast.
That's true.
He's wearing a tie, a white button down with plaid shorts.
This is my Angus Young look. Yeah. I mean, I was filming something earlier in front of the green screen and I just didn't feel like changing out of it.
Is that, do you own that tie?
I don't know. This is an old Mr. Portnoy tie.
Ooh.
That Tommy Smokes happened to have on his desk. And fun little fact about this dress shirt, this is the capri pants of
dress shirts.
Oh, my God.
It's got the collar and everything, but it only goes down like halfway my forearm.
It's a pre-rolled dress shirt.
It's actually,
wow.
I like
That's
it.
A great idea.
That's pretty
great. Yeah, that tie looks like it came out of like the for sale section in Kohl's.
Yeah. Or like a Scholastic Fair, like Father's Day fair thing.
But yeah, thanks for wearing a tie, dressing up. All right, next up, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. Grindelwald being, I believe, Dumbledore's former lover. Isn't that the backstory on that one?
Yeah, it's the fucking tweet where it's like J.K. Rowling wakes up and spins the wheel and then assigns a new identity to somebody in Harry Potter.
As our good friends, The Weekly Planet, call him, it's Gay Wizard Hitler.
Yeah.
So, The Crimes of Grindelwald, that trailer came out, the final trailer, which I only thought there was one to begin with, but regardless, the final one, you know, as somebody who has to lick a candy bar that has been placed in the backside of a Times Square Elmo, if this movie makes $1 billion, which the other one only made $800 million. If this one makes $1 billion, that's a wild leap. Like, history shows a sequel shouldn't make that much more. But we'll see. I'm actually a little more looking forward to this after this trailer. It may have to do with the fact I just rewatched all Harry Potters after Chamber of Secrets, like all the adult Harry Potters, basically. This one having the Easter egg of Nagini the snake being an actual human being, kind of cool. I kind of like how that ties in. The more they tie this into the original Harry Potters, the more interested I'll be. So I'm okay with this trailer. I'm looking forward to this movie a little bit because I really do not like Fantastic Beasts. But if this ties more into Harry Potter lore, you know what? Fuck it. Why not? Why not for me?
Are we in the trust tree?
We're in the trust tree.
I've never seen a Harry Potter movie.
Oh,
wow. Ooh.
I've never
You're read saving me book. Now because people really fucking hate me for saying I didn't like Prisoner of Azkaban.
I didn't either. Yeah. I didn't like it.
Good.
I'm sorry. It's one of those things that I know that I should see, and especially now that like I'm working with you guys, I should probably be a little bit more well-versed in, you know, one of the biggest movie series of the past like 30 years. But it's just – it's something that I haven't gotten around to, so hand up on that. Watching this preview, though – I like where this is going. It looks cool. The thing is, like, if you're just first getting into Harry Potter movies, you have this like stigma that they're kids' movies, you know. Mm-hmm. And this one jumped out at me for being like, okay, this actually looks kind of badass in some ways.
The final Harry Potter ones I think are great, especially the last two. I think you would like this if you got through them. And we're gonna rank them. James, Mr. Sunday Movies, is going to come on a month after he's on for Venom, and we're going to do Harry Potter rankings because they did a ton of breakdowns on their pods of all the movies, and they have some good thoughts on those. But Trill, Fantastic Beast thoughts.
I looked fine. I mean, the only question I had of it is I'm not a big Harry Potter guy, is if there were any tips of the cap to Harry Potter. Sounds like there were. It looked entertaining. We didn't love Fantastic Beast. Maybe Ken Jack liked it. The only thing is, I think it would be funny if they revealed that the crimes of Grindelwald were white-collar crimes.
Yeah, it's something really lame.
Yeah, like, this guy's really dangerous, and we have him in a stagecoach or whatever, and it's like, what did he do? And it's like, money laundering?
Yeah, he defrauded Gringotts Bank.
That's not a white-collar crime. Just go with tax evasion, like our good friend.
He's running the Ponzi scheme. Where's he even been?
No idea. Haven't seen that bit, or excuse me, haven't seen that film reel in a while.
Thank God.
Wow.
I think it wasn't very, I'm just going to say, because Jeff is my friend and I don't want him to have to eat a candy bar that touched a Elmo, I'm going to say this trailer was bad. Just for that point. Don't watch the trailer. Don't watch the movie. We don't want Jeff to eat a bad candy bar that touched an Elmo.
That's not even like a hot take. Like if I sat here and said, like no Star Wars movie will make over $500 million, or like Aquaman's going to be the highest grossing movie of all time. Like those are fucking hot predictions. This really isn't a hot prediction. For this movie to make $200 million more than its predecessor would buck a trend with movies. So I feel confident about this prediction. However, the loss would suck because Times Square Elmos are being within a foot of a Times Square Elmo is disgusting.
Oh, yes.
Well, then eating a candy bar within a foot of Times Square Elmo is disgusting. Now eating one that has touched one. I mean, you also ate shit, PFT. So
yeah, that's true.
Well, eat the candy
that's
bar,
totally different. That's absolutely different. I did it to help my team. I didn't do it as punishment.
True. Yeah,
that's fair.
I did it because we won. So actually, the winner of this bet should have to do it.
That's right.
If you guys really care about
movies. All the people on Reddit who were really mad at me when I made that comment.
Eat the candy.
Do you all eat the candy?
Yeah. What about, well, okay, so I admit I have never seen a Harry Potter movie. I think where I'm starting right now is I don't know if I should just jump into one or do I have to go back to the beginning?
I'd say jump in. I don't think there's enough callbacks.
That's tough, though. I think it's enough character development.
You mean jump into a random Harry Potter franchise one or jump into Fantastic Beasts? Oh.
Just a random Harry Potter one.
Oh, that might
Harry
be a little
Potter,
difficult.
You got to start from the beginning on Harry Potter.
Okay.
I would love to do the thing, like the reverse Twitter thing, since PFT's never seen it, where he's watching and I'm drawing parallels to political figures based on the characters.
Oh, God, yeah.
You see Harry Potter? Yeah, Harry Potter is XYZ.
Exactly, yeah.
Is The Last Jedi a social commentary on the current status of our political... It's like, probably not.
Yeah, well, congrats. You just became Chris Saliza.
Exactly.
Like, probably isn't.
I can't wait for that really horny New York Post reviewer to watch this and be like, yeah, just don't watch this with your kids. When the snake turns into a girl, like you just get really aroused. And I was with my whole family just popping wood, and it's uncomfortable.
It does look pretty sweet, though. Like when
the snake?
Yeah.
Sexy snake.
I was a little rough. Only problem is snakes don't have feet, and so I'm real big. Ooh, I want to see what kind of shoes that snake was wearing. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Mm-hmm. We're feet guys on this podcast, especially Trill, who I only just remembered. We were mentioning this earlier today. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, one of Trill's favorite franchises. What's his name?
Shredder.
Shredder's
the foot soldiers.
His armies were called the Foot Clan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even remember that. This all just comes together towards you being a real life foot guy.
Hey, dude. PayPal, Patreon, Venmo, and bio. You know where to send
cash
them.
Cash app.
Are there worse henchmen in the history of television or film than the Foot Clan? They were so inept.
Maybe Death
foot
Eaters.
Stunk.
Death Eaters are pretty bad.
Yeah, right, PFT? You know those Death Eaters from Harry Potter?
No, I don't know the Death Eaters. but I do know the hell out of the Foot Clan.
At least Star Wars somewhat retconned why all of the Stormtroopers sucked.
Yeah.
Or the same size. But like the Foot Clan was like Shredder is like, I need 1,000 men who are all roughly 115 pounds to take down these
giant
super
turtles.
Ninja turtles. Who are unbelievable with martial arts.
Oh, boy. Fantastic Beasts. That is also in November. Bumblebee. That trailer came out. What?
Don't you think it's kind of weird they cut out and Where to Find Them? Because that was the official title of the first one, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, right?
Yeah.
This one's just Crimes of Grindelwald.
Is it? But it was it Fantastic Beasts, colon, and Where to Find Them? Or was it Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them?
You're right. I don't think
there was a colon in the first one.
Yeah, that's a good point. We should go on a Twitter crusade, like the release of Snyder Cut.
Yeah, damn right, Joel. No colon.
Yeah, so it should be called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
I'm just saying.
You just own them.
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling owes you money now.
Delete your account.
Bumblebee trailer. Haley Steinfeld, John Cena. I'm going to be honest. Probably not going to be a great movie, kind of like the trailer. If you're a Transformers fan from like long ago, not the Michael Bay ones, you'll recognize that these Transformers in this movie, like Optimus, Megatron, they kind of look like they did in the cartoons. The toys, pretty badass. I'm on board with that. That's pretty cool. That's a start.
I got a question. If you get pulled over in Bumblebee, can Bumblebee get a DUI?
Should, right?
Are you sure?
It's a conscious entity.
You can drive drunk in Bumblebee, right? Because if Bumblebee's sober and you're not.
Yeah.
Well, he's your fall guy then.
Yeah.
He was the driver.
Chris Carter's just a driver of Bumblebee in canon from now on.
If you can do that in an autonomous car, then you should be able to do it in Bumblebee, right? Is that the rule?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we're not cops. For more cop knowledge, play Spider-Man.
Please watch play Spider-Man.
This does look a lot better than any of the Michael Bay ones, though. Yeah. I have to say that.
It does. Also, so, there's a rumor.
Low bar.
There's a rumor that John Cena is playing G.I. Joe.
Ooh, oh, fuck what? Yeah.
Which would be
that was cool. A little on the nose.
It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, very much on the nose. Yeah.
Well, technically, G.I. Joe is Army, and he is USMC. So that'd be disrespectful, probably, well, right?
What role could we work in for James Corden in the G.I.
Oh,
Joe?
Oh God,
that's the real question.
He should be Bumblebee, really.
He's
he voices Bumblebee.
Cobra, is that the villain of G.I. Joe?
Oh, Cobra's I get the feeling like James Corden's the mess cook.
Hello,
it's on a shingle like, again.
He makes these like really American films, and the joke is this was his mom's cooking. Like, hi, hello, I'm James Corden. Here's my five alarm chili, just like my mother used to make down in Alabama.
If the Michael Bay movies are still being made, he would for sure have a role. They used everybody. They just pulled everyone out of the cupboard for that.
It's just it'd be Cogsworth in like the past. Yeah. I think I've had my fill of British robots after Cogsworth in that movie. That was so
bad. Cogsworth?
Was it no Cogsworth from Beauty and the Beast? Wasn't it Cogman?
Cogman. Cogman. Right, yeah. Yes, our second review, Transformers: The Last Night. Cogman.
Oh hey, is this guy Cogman?
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, and it fits so well. Carpool Karaoke. Only just put that together. That would be fits so well. Damn,
he would be doing Carpool Karaoke.
They're totally going to do a tie-in, aren't they?
Where oh, for sure.
And Bumblebee and Haley Steinfeld is doing Carpool Karaoke.
It transforms in the middle of Carpool Karaoke and just crushes him to death and grinds him into like chunky mustard.
This is just so now at this point we're just predicting James Corden things. I said today in a blog he would be in Space Jam. Because he's in Smallfoot with LeBron. He's going to play the Wayne Knight character. We predicted long ago he's going to play Bustopher Jones. Now we're predicting that there will be a Carpool Karaoke tie-in to Bumblebee with James Corden. I feel very confident about all of those. All right, last two things. Venom. There was no new trailer for Venom.
Should have been.
But there was an ESPN commercial starring Venom. It starts out with Charles Woodson and Randy Moss with a meeting of, I believe, Raiders Black Hole fans. Then you have Tom Hardy walk in clearly on green screen, and then he morphs into Venom in maybe the worst CGI I've ever seen, and then he just goes haywire, and Randy Moss and Charles Woodson are losing their minds, and it implies, I believe, that Venom eats the rest of the Oakland Raiders fans. And then he also says, what we come to expect now, we are Venom. I'm going to do a whole intro of our pod where I take out all I'm going to take out all the movie quotes and just put in "We are Venom."
The main question I had is, I didn't know if those were Oakland Raider fans or if those were ESPN employees that they had dressed up in paint that we were supposed to recognize as being like, oh shit, is that Jack Collinsworth dressed up as a guy in the black hole? By the way, Jack Collinsworth would get his ass kicked in the black hole.
100%.
1,000,000%. He'd be like fresh fish on the line.
Also, but, I like that they picked the Raiders, too, just because they were like black and white logo, black, like
just
silver
fit.
And black. Yeah. And
fits yeah. Venom.
It was fucking terrible. It was a bad commercial.
Very bad. I thought Randy Moss was a better than expected actor.
Yeah, not bad.
Also, do you think of him as a Raider? Like, do you see Randy Moss and you're like, oh, yeah, former Raider?
That is true. They. No. I didn't realize that they are both Raiders, Woodson and Randy Moss.
Like, I thought that was the idea. Like, oh, we need two big Raiders to like do this whole conference and everything. And like Woodson, obviously, yes. And then you'd have Randy, who's on the team for what, 2 years?
Was Woodson wearing his giant ascot in that preview?
No, I don't think so. It was just regular blazer.
They should have just strangled him with the ascot.
We are Venom, folks. The marketing campaign for this has been great. Trill, we know your favorite song as of late was Venom by Eminem.
Yeah.
Music from the original motion picture soundtrack, Venom.
Venom, Venom, go kill him, Venom.
Oh, it's so fucking bad.
The only
black... They won't take this chainsaw to him. I got Venom. I turn him blue him.
Oh, God.
It was terrible.
Can we tease a project that we might have coming up soon?
Sure.
An Eminem project?
Yes. Definitely.
There's another movie, a big movie that's coming out soon. Big movie. We're gonna write an Eminem song for it.
Like not just like a on the fly. Not that the stuff you do, Ken Jack, is on the fly. But
it
like,
is. Sort
we're gonna do it like well in advance too.
Mm. Yeah,
might have
yeah.
to get Roan to. I bet you Roan could do a pretty good Eminem voice.
Yeah,
yeah,
100%. He did NSYNC very well.
You did do Instagram
for that last
ad. We have some singing ads this week too. We'll get to those in a minute. We got one more news story. This is the most lights, camera, barstool news story possible. Very Trill Ballins-esque. It has a lot of nostalgia mixed in. The plot to the Black Widow solo movie may involve Y2K. That is 100% a plot that we would have made up for a skit. Like, I saw that and I'm like, that's a joke. I'm like, and I actually thought, did we talk about this? We didn't say it because I went back and looked, but I mean, this is right up our alley. I feel like we should have some input on this movie.
You might think that Y2K wasn't really a big deal. It wasn't what they hyped it up to be. But did you know what Natasha Romanoff did to subvert it? Black Widow.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I just watched it.
You fucking nailed it. She's playing with pogs and...
<She's> just... Oh, yes. Yes, this is already my movie.
Yeah. Hell.
Again, not the pogs you guys are thinking of, but...
She's just like, she's behind the keyboard of some computer programmers. And it's like, you will program the date for the year to have four digits instead of two digits or else the world's going to explode.
I actually already watched Natasha Romanoff versus Pogs on Celeb Jihad a few months ago. Mike,
hey, hickory dickory dock.
The only black hole I like to see is the one during back shots. Oh my god!
I want to go back to my Eminem lyrics I wrote when I say, "You think I won't take a chainsaw to him? I'll turn him blue him," which means they turn blue because they're dead. Some people may have missed the subtlety of the lyrics. So.
They're always better when you explain them.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to bleep out that back shot joke because I want people to start getting super confused as to what I bleep out.
It makes it 10 times better, to be honest. Because the guesses, first, sometimes are very out of nowhere.
People guess things that would have you thrown in fucking jail.
Yes.
We'd cut it completely. The one time I was like, oh, Kendrick's making fun of Alzheimer's. Like,
I was like, what? We would cut it completely from the podcast if I said that. Why would we bleep it?
No, he's not. What the fuck are you talking about? All right.
Once a week, I pull Jeff aside, and I'm like, hey, Jeff, what did Ken Jack say? What'd you take out? I got it.
Completely true story.
Yeah.
Anything else? Black Widow, White. What other late 90s things would you want to see in here? Because there would be this seems like a Spider-Man Homecoming, Guardians of the Galaxy reference-laden thing. Mm. There'd have to be a lot.
Mm. Yeah, I want to see her. I want to see her spin kick a Dreamcast.
Yeah, Attitude Era Wrestling. Throw that in there.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she's a real big fan of ska music, and she's awesome at skanking, doing that dance.
She just loves the Mighty Boss Tones. That's her number one
band.
There's
two Mighties in there. Just respect the band.
The Mighty Boss Tones.
Yes, thank you.
She explains the pun of the name Real Big Fish to somebody.
Oh, I saw Goldfinger on a cruise the other week. It was like this little boat that goes around New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw on Spotify they were going to be in town. And I was like, oh, shit, that might be cool. So I got on this boat. And it's pretty fun seeing a band on a boat, except for the fact that when you start like dancing and jumping around and the boat's like tipping to side, everybody on the dance floor is just falling over. It's just crazy. But it was
pretty awesome, actually.
Whenever I think of New York and boats, I think of... either The Dark Knight, which that was in Chicago, so I really don't think that, I guess. Oh. There it is. Okay, a little background
that,
vibe.
That's
some ska
sound.
Some ska, man.
Was Goldfinger like pure ska, or were they like...
Ska punk.
Yeah. Do. Yeah. That's not bad. Here in your bedroom.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Superman.
Here in your bedroom, I can do an ollie.
Here in your bedroom, I wasn't jerking off, I was joking.
There's a difference. It's not for pleasure.
That's actually, you know what? We're trying to think of a new pop punk song to write.
Joking might be
just a song explaining the difference between joking and jacking.
Yeah.
Might be.
Do you want to
that could be a hit.
Do you want to hear my favorite new song right now?
Swing the bat at Rocco like that.
I love that that acoustic riff immediately gets me laughing.
The music from the Slap commercial is just one of my favorite things of all time now.
I actually really want to hear this pop punk joking versus masturbating song. It's like, it's cosmetic, it's not for pleasure.
It's actually a medical issue I'm working on.
All right, we got to move on from news.
Just give me 6 months and call me back.
Give me one more PFT.
Got to go to Reddit and upload my stats.
That's a deep cut.
The iPhone's got this new AR measuring app. And I'm gonna use
I'm sorry,
it.
But it's November and it's no fap.
Two more things from PFT and Trill. Y2K, 1990s reference. What would you stuff in it?
Good phrasing.
Just, what would I stuff in there in the 1990s? I think if we're going to be dealing with Y2K, we would need to see some sort of hacking scene where she was using MS-DOS.
Yeah.
And she kept having to hit like C/ to get back to the original prompt.
Ooh. Or she's fighting bad guys and she throws them into a gigantic stack of gateway computer boxes
with the cow
pattern on it.
That'll be the beginning of the trailer, like the blockbuster for Captain Marvel.
Exactly,
like, that's how they set the scene.
It's her logging into like her Netscape email or something.
All right, we have a quick commercial break here for one of our sponsors this episode. Kenjack, who's going to be the first sponsor this episode? You make the call. It's your pick.
Let's go with the singing ad first. Let's start with a bang.
Which one was it?
You know what? I don't remember. I think it was Sunday Scaries. Sunday Scaries.
Sunday Scaries. All right.
Wake up early Sunday. My hangover's running strong. I got the runs from drinking too much beer. All right. We're so bright-y. Help calm my anxiety. Now I need something to help keep me stress-free. All right, man. We're chilling on the lake here in northern Michigan. Drink some Jim Beam. Red Stag, you know. Thinking about tomorrow. Feels like I stubbed my big toe. I really need this feeling to go away. And no, I can't have any weed or any of that THC. It's illegal in my state, and that's bullshit. Why don't you try the Sunday Scaries? Help ease anxiety. Those gummies are filled up with CBD. 10% off of your order on Internet Explorer. SundayScaries.com, promo code LIGHTS. Okay, yeah, man. Kick it one time. There you go. SundayScaries.com, promo code LIGHTS. Doesn't get you high. It just helps you sleep at night. They even have some B12 and D3. Shout out D12, Detroit, what? The gummies taste so great, and they're legal in your state. So you can kick back in your chair and masturbate. Why don't you try the Sunday Scaries? Help ease anxiety. Those gummies are filled up with CBD. 10% off of your order on Internet Explorer. SundayScaries.com, promo code LIGHTS. Ha ha, yeah! SundayScaries.com, promo code LIGHTS. My name is Kid! It's Kid, baby! Kid Rock!
All right, thank you to Sunday Scaries. I think you read everything in the song,
yeah.
So I'm just going to move on. Okay, folks, we said we would review BlacKkKlansman. First of all, these next two reviews are going to be spoiler reviews. So if you haven't seen them, I mean, if you haven't seen BlacKkKlansman at this point, I'm sorry. I don't... Go see it. And then a simple favor, we're going to do all spoiler as well, because it's way too spoilerly for us to not... spoil the movie. Started out BlacKkKlansman, a movie that we saw, Kenjack and I, a long time ago. PFT, you saw it a while ago too, or did you see it recently?
Yeah, I saw it like 3 weeks ago, I think.
Okay, and then Trill, you finally got to see it. Our long national nightmare is over. People thought this was a fucking bit.
Yeah,
people thought this was a bit that we were just never going to review it. It's way too good of a movie to be a bit. Like, if this was Hotel Transylvania 3, yeah, probably a bit. No, you actually did see it. Kendrick and I saw it a long time ago. No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I moved from an area that didn't get a lot of movies to an area that gets a lot of movies.
Just for the podcast, no other reason. Mm-hmm.
To Hoboken. I'm able to see all of these movies in Hoboken. You want me to give my thoughts, Jeff?
Ken Jack and I have our reviews up online. We don't have to go too crazy here. We'll let PFT and Troll talk some. I loved it. I gave it a 95 out of 100. One of the best movies of the year. We'll get into it, but the acting in this movie is fucking incredible.
Maybe we should do what we keep forgetting to do and do a quick summary.
Yeah, we'll do it next episode.
Maybe on a longer review.
I don't have it prepared. I don't have it in front of me. I promised I would review a quick summary of the movie. I would just read it off. I will start that next week. I'll start that for... Actually, no, I'm not... maybe I will. We're doing a recap of 2018 movies next week, by the way. We're doing like 10 of them. All right. I gave it a 95 out of 100. Incredibly well-written movie. Very intense movie, but the acting is what took it over the top for me. Troy Bolins, what did you think?
I gave it a 90 out of 100. I'm on the same page with you. I really enjoyed it. It made great use of both John David Washington and Adam Driver. Adam Driver was great in his role too, and he's great in everything he's in. But it had a lot of scenes that stood out for me. So like one of the scenes I really, really enjoyed was the bomb scene. I thought that was very tense, and the accompaniment of the music was great on that as well. I need to go find out like what music they used. Both of the movies we're reviewing today, actually, I thought used music really, really well. And I don't know too much about how they pick music to put in movies, but they fit in both movies pretty much seamlessly with what was going on. So, yeah, I mean, 90, this movie is, I think, officially a comedy drama. I thought it did the comedy drama subgenre very, very well. I thought it was an interesting story and that adaptation of a real life story. And going back to what Jeff was saying, the acting performances, it really took that story over the top, made it a super tense movie at times and a super funny movie at times, which is super hard to do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Ken Jack, you gave it a 93 out of 100 originally. Score changed, same score?
Still a 93. It was a great movie, very well paced. It's a very, very, very much a Spike Lee movie, so if you don't really like his sort of stuff, you probably won't like it that much. But I still think objectively it's a great movie. He does some incredible stuff. The cold open with Alec Baldwin, which was really creepy and unnerving, mm-hmm. was perfect for the movie. The scene with the speech, which was done by John, I forget his last name, but I thought all the acting jobs are great, like you were saying, John David Washington. You can almost, you feel... Denzel in a lot of his voice and mannerisms sometimes, and I think it was really cool. I think you probably saw it too in some of the subway stations here. They had posters of Black Klansman like next to Equalizer 2, and you just see like that.
Yeah.
It's just a cool generational thing to see. Adam Driver was awesome. I thought that their dynamic was really great. Like, I didn't know what to expect going into it, but they played off each other very well. And Topher Grace, almost too good as David Duke.
Shocking, right?
He was really, you feel it.
It was pretty wild.
Yeah, he had that like very creepy, thin-voiced, real weirdo vibe down like perfectly.
Exactly. Yeah, very unnerving.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's like him being such a villain too. The fact that he was like that, you're like, fuck, this really is cutting deep. This is creeping me out.
The scenes that they shot from his office or his office set in the movie, I thought were really creepy. They did a good job with that, but. Yeah, echo that. Topher Grace popping back up. I guess the Venom check ran out.
Sometimes it's tough to criticize a movie that's based on a real story because there are things that if it wasn't a true story, I would say are not believable and that they should have changed in the movie. But you know, like things like he made that first call to the KKK, and then for whatever reason he had his white partner go meet the guy face to face, but then. Washington would continue to call the guy and be the actor on the phone with him. And in real life, I guess that's the way that it happened. But if it was just a movie that I was seeing, I would be like, why did they just have the white guy start doing the voice instead of like putting themselves in that position? But you know, that said, like, you can't really criticize it because that's what really happened in the movie. Mm. Some of the critiques I've seen from it, I actually agree with. I think it was Boots Riley that was kind of going after it a little bit on Twitter. I don't know if this was him or somebody else, but the fact that they never really addressed that Washington like invaded the Black Student Union to gather intelligence, and they never really like circled back on that. Like he was actually, he was
not woke at all. Like doing a very bad thing.
He was a subversive on the like progressive side, but then yes, he also battled the KKK. They never really reconciled that.
Yeah,
there were definitely some scenes that were uncomfortable to watch.
Oh yeah,
yep,
really uncomfortable.
The Birth of a Nation scene
was brutal.
Effective, but tough to sit through.
not only just the actual footage from Birth of a Nation, but the commentary that the white actors that were playing the KKK members mm-hmm. were giving while that was going on. At times, I almost like I wanted to laugh at some of the commentary because it was like so absurd. And it's, you know, just stuff that you don't hear all the time. It was like, this lady is comically racist. Like, who is, yeah. there's no chance that somebody could be this over the top. So yeah, there were definitely like some uncomfortable parts in that. And then the only real gripe that I have, and it's like nitpicking a little bit, is, I think it was towards the end, they did a lot of like winking and nodding, you know, relating things that were happening then to things that are going on right now in America.
Yeah, the ending. They're,
like, the yeah. Make America Great Again, when they put, like, that line in there, and then they, like, looked at the camera. It's like, I totally understood what you guys were going for
yeah, the whole
before
exactly.
you actually said those words.
It's almost like I don't want to say degrading. It's almost like treating your audience like they're too stupid to yeah. get. Like, I think that was very obvious. Like,
yes.
if you didn't pick up what the parallels are to why this is released right now and what it's trying to say, like, I mean, I think you're a fucking idiot. But, like, I don't, like, I like a more subtle tone to that type of stuff. And I actually mm-hmm. think Sorry to Bother You, while being, and I don't mean this in a bad way, like an obnoxiously in-your-face movie for so, like, it exaggerated so much. I didn't think there were as many wink, like, hardcore winks, like, almost fourth wall breaks.
Yeah, it was more satirical than it was in-your-face.
Yeah. Yeah, this one, I mean, it's effective, but you're right. Like, the Make America Great Again line, like, I know what they're getting at. But then at the end, to have that whole Unite the Right rally
yeah.
Footage from Virginia, like, I think that was enough right there. Like,
yeah.
like that's the realistic part. Like, I get why he put it in there. It worked. It definitely played to the crowd because there were laughs during all those types of lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, I think you're right. There's the movie was good enough on its own and smart enough where it didn't need to treat its audience like. And again, I gave the movie a fucking 95, but I kind of was like, I think we would have picked up on that. I don't think you totally
a little more subtlety.
That.
I also liked how they showed the side of the KKK that I think isn't really portrayed that often in film, which is a lot of times it's a bunch of fucking idiots that get together to get drunk and use racial slurs and think
yep.
racial slurs are funny and are like utterly incompetent at doing anything else. There were a lot of scenes that I thought, like, you know, like, I've met people like that, you know, visiting my grandparents in North Carolina, like, people that just like to get drunk and say stupid shit. But, yeah, there was that side to it, while also showing that, you know, they can be very, very dangerous as well. Like,
yeah.
The right amount of stupid mixed with the right amount of fertilizer can make for, you know, a very dangerous
It makes
thing.
It more all the more horrifying, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
See, knowing that it's, like, based on a true story. It's like,
yeah.
my God.
You know who I really liked in it was Ashley Atkinson, who played the wife. Because a lot of these movies that involve KKK or any racist hate groups or anything, they'll focus a ton on, like, the men, and then they will never focus on, like, how women are really part of that system, too, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this really didn't let white women off the hook for being, like, part of sometimes this racially oppressive system.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that her performance was amazing. Like, she was really unnerving, some of her lines and the way she delivered them in the movie.
One of the one of the Klan members, the guy that leads the chapter is Tom.
Tom from Blacklist, baby.
From Blacklist. There's no Red is not in this movie, though.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I would love James Spader in this.
Oh, my God. Well, he'd have to wear the fedora. That's a must. One thing that I really was puzzled by in this movie, and I think it's just the 70s in general. Is it 60s or 70s? It's 70s, right?
70s.
Okay.
The movie takes place in 70s.
Early 70s, yeah.
So that was one of the things. So I went to the historical accuracy section, and there are a few things that were changed. The events depicted in the film took place in 72 rather than 1979. So it's off a little bit from the book. And then also the bomb scene, it was added to the movie
mm-hmm.
to add tension. So I mean, yeah, I'm off on a tangent, but I just want to like kind of work that way into – it took place in the 70s, but I thought they did a very good job at the whole period piece styling of like the clothes and the cars
yeah.
and furniture and things like that. Like that's something I'm a big nerd for. Like I can't really pick something out and say, oh, that vase was made in 78 and you got yeah. it in the movie in 75. But it's more so just the general vibe. It felt very 70s.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty neat.
So with the costumes and the facial accessories and the hairstyles in the 70s, I don't know how anybody ever found if somebody else was attractive or not back then. Like, this goes across both sexes. Like, I don't know how a woman could look at a man and be like, is he cute or not? And, like, know for sure. Because between, like, the weird sunglasses they had on and, like, the women were wearing, like, gigantic headbands and they also had weird sunglasses on. It's just very confusing to know who's attractive, which is great for a person like me. I wish I had lived back in the 70s.
Like, yeah, same.
Just so that people wouldn't know that I was unattractive when they looked at me.
I think that for men, attractiveness was based primarily on chest hair, quantity and quality, and like how it looks poking out of your polyester shirt.
Exactly.
Okay, I got that covered.
So, Trill, you saw this much after we did, and we hyped it up pretty big. Anything that surprised you that we hadn't really talked about with you that made you really like it?
No, there's nothing. I think the only thing was that just some of the scenes and some of the humor used in the movie, I wasn't expecting as much, but I really enjoyed that part. Especially relating to the interaction between Ron, is it Stallingsworth?
Stallsworth?
Stallsworth, yeah. And Adam Driver's character. And, it helps when you have, you talk about like, and it's been, I think, a big year for like jokes in movies and like what's the right amount and is too many jokes. But I think in a movie like this, which is so heavy at parts, it helps to cut the tension and also highlight some of the, I don't know if ridiculous is the right word, but highlight some of the more distressing, you know, ironies that might be in place.
One historical inaccuracy that I really had a problem with in this movie was it took place inside the Colorado Springs Police Department, and there was no mention of Detective Joe Kinda. Do you guys know who Detective Joe Kinda is?
I don't. Enlighten me.
I do.
Okay. He's the TV detective from The Homicide Hunter, right, I believe is his name. He's solved like 370 homicides over the years, and that was the year that he began work in the Colorado Springs Police Department.
I had no idea. That's wild.
Yeah. And so Joe Kinda is the man. If you've never watched an episode with him, I think it's Homicide Hunter.
Yeah,
can we double check
that?
Yeah. Homicide Hunters, you'll sit down and you'll probably pour through like
I never
know,
made that connection.
Yeah. He's the man. Love Joe Kinda.
How about that? Look at you. So now you're just bringing we're idiots. We're big dumb idiots. So you're bringing like the smart knowledge here.
I don't know if that's smart or if that's just me being trapped on an airplane one time and the only channel that worked was whatever channel Joe Kinda was on and me falling in love with him.
anything else you want to touch on here? I mean, I think we all loved it. It's just a fucking awesome movie. And I guess if some people don't like political commentaries like this, then it may not be for them, I guess. But I think beyond the political stuff, it's just a well-put-together movie. I think the acting is great. The script is great. Very witty. Flows perfectly. It's a movie that flows very well. Just think it's a great job. And there was a lot of hype for this movie, and it didn't disappoint for me. And I think this will be a movie that we see at the Academy Awards. Whether it's up for Best Picture or not, I guess we'll see. I think it might be. But I think Adam Driver and John David Washington, they should be they should be up there, especially Driver. The lead actor category is always very tough, but I think a one strong supporting actor nomination –
should be
we'll
him,
get in there, which Adam Driver will get in there. But I think Washington did a pretty damn good job, too, and did you in two different voices during the movie. Like, I'd love to see him. Just when he takes that picture with David Duke in the in the hall, when he tricks him, that's great. That's just a fucking great moment and ties his character together perfectly.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that that broke the tension, like that I'm talking about. I'm sorry to interrupt, Ken Jack, but my final thought is, like, I think discomfort or being uncomfortable at parts of this movie was mentioned, and I think that's okay. I think it's okay when a movie makes you feel that way. It gets you to, you know, kind of challenge thinking and beliefs. And I mean, this movie has depictions of hate that exist today, obviously. Yeah. And I don't know how you can argue that. So I don't want to go too further down that road, but a lot of the things were just very, they made me uncomfortable, but I think in a very good way is what I'm trying to say, because I mean it is uncomfortable. Right.
Yeah,
the end of that movie was that was like very, very tough to watch and get over. It stuck with you.
Yeah, big time.
After you were out of the theater.
Yeah.
The only other thing I want to mention on the same lines as PFT is that Zachary Filkins, the lead guitarist from One Republic, also born in 1978 in Colorado Springs. No mention either.
Wow. Oh, shit.
Huge disrespect.
What's a One Republic?
That's Stop and Stare.
Okay, that's one.
One Republic? Don't they do, it's too late to apologize?
I'd assume that was
Maybe.
Maroon 5.
Too late.
Is that not Maroon 5?
5, don't forget, very hip Atlanta band. And
they are.
At the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Can't wait. Adam Levine. No, nothing to Atlanta
Sugar,
like Adam Levine.
It's just me.
So we're going to have to end the podcast with a One Republic song now. That's just how it works.
Yes.
Just how it works. Okay, so PFT, you want to give it a score?
Yeah, I'll give it a... Give it a 92.
Okay, 92.
I enjoyed it.
92 from you, 95 for me. Trebon's 90, Kenjack 93. Audience had it at 94. Super buttered. Big time. Not even close. Didn't even toe the line of maybe being not buttered.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, A Simple Favor. Anna Kendrick. Blake Lively. Paul Feig directing. Paul Feig, who, look, he's made a lot of good stuff. A ton of great TV stuff. He's made a pretty fair amount of good movies, Bridesmaids. I liked Spy, but he also made one of the hackiest, biggest pieces of trash in the last 10 years in Ghostbusters. And he defended it and tried to dunk all over people who didn't like it, which a lot of people were probably sexist. I mean, I'll be honest. Like,
yeah.
Just bottom line. But there were a lot of very good critiques on that movie, which was not funny, that, you know, I never liked. It's left a bad taste in my mouth. But you know what? I'm taking it all back. I still didn't like that, but he made such a good fucking movie here that I'm going to get over my whiny online Paul Feig hate.
The Ghostbusters hate was sort of like the Onion article, like the worst person you know makes a good point.
Yeah.
Like every like sexist guy going after it, I was like, you're right, but not for the right reasons.
Yeah, uh-huh. Exactly.
You are correct in your final assessment.
No,
in your...
you with your proton pack tattoo on your right arm. You hate it because you suck.
You who made a nerd. Bill Murray because, come tribute.
Yeah,
no, I don't think you're the right guy for this.
It's not Bill Murray in it. Jesus.
Oh, man.
That got true off the...
Yeah.
Now on the web store.
So A Simple Favor. Ken Jack and I saw this one, I think, 2 weeks ago. We reviewed this online as well. You can see our expanded thoughts. We loved it. This is not a movie I thought I was going to like. I had some friends go see this. Who saw it for a screener and said they fucking hated it. They're like, you're going to hate this movie. I'm like, okay. Ken Jack saw it and like, man, you were over the moon about it.
Yeah,
like,
loved it.
I guess we got to go see it. Went and saw it and just had a fucking blast with it. Gave it a 90 out of 100. Funny. It is one of the more twisty, turny movies I've ever seen. It'll throw you for a loop multiple times. Creative, edgier seat, keeps you guessing, and it has just like a dynamic feel to it. Like, I'll use the word, a buzzword here, I think, at Barstool, electric.
Mm.
Yeah. It is a very electric movie. Like, there are so many things that happen that kind of just pop off the screen.
Yeah.
That, I mean, bravo to everyone involved. I love that. Gave it a 90 out of 100. Big fan. I'll get to Trome PFD, but Ken Jack, share your thoughts.
Yeah, I gave it a 91 out of 100. I loved it. I think the word I used to describe it on basically every medium I applauded it on was effortless, in that every single line of dialogue just was effortless to the next. Every it felt like it was written for the people who were in it. So Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick were so perfectly cast in it. Anna Kendrick, first of all, is built for the mommy vlogger role. Like, I don't think there's anybody that could have done that role better than her.
She has range, but did not need it for this role.
No.
Did not.
She was just being herself. Like, that was her Twitter persona in made for a role. And Blake Lively, first of all, insane outfits. Just got to say it off the bat. Her outfits were outrageous. I read an entire Vanity Fair article about like her costume designer for it. It was insane. I don't understand. Like, she had such a weird, insanely dominant presence where, like, I was scared by her every time she'd come on screen. I'm like, that is a fucking badass right there. Mm-hmm. And I just loved her attitude in it. Henry Golding, I feel like, didn't have to do a ton, but he's still
good, though. Coming off the wave of Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah,
he was enjoyable.
I liked him. And I think the big, just Blake Lively was great, and Anna Kendrick is great. And it's just, I think if you haven't seen it yet, you just have to, because it's so effortless.
Also, the original main star of Book of Mormon, Andrew Rannells, is in it, and I fucking love him.
He was so
I
good.
Love Andrew Rannells.
Andrew Rannells.
So good.
He was in Hamilton
awesome.
Well. He is so fucking good.
King George the Third. Shout out to him.
Would know, never seen it. I just know he's in Hamilton. But Book of Mormon's one of the funniest things, maybe the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, and you haven't seen Hamilton?
No.
Oh, you
no.
did, Trill?
Yeah, I was able
to get
tickets.
How much did you pay? Like $600 a pop?
Oh, don't worry about it.
No, no, it's I think it's.
No, it's. No,
excuse me.
It's not.
No.
Bleep out the word.
Okay.
No, no. Let me do that again. With you can go to any show you want.
Fact.
There you go.
Promo code take.
Nailed it.
We should bleep out the fact we just gave out a free ad as well.
Yes, that's true.
This whole thing just got bleeped out. People are going to think we're swearing. It's just bad advertising plugs. No, Trill actually spent $300 and then plus the $5 to go from the path into the city from Hoboken and then back to Hoboken. So it wasn't that expensive. Anyway, Trill Ballins, PFT. We'll start with you, Trill. A simple favor. What'd you think? What'd you give it?
I gave it a 90. I loved it. A mark of a movie I'll like is one, not only you like the characters, but two, you like the bad guy or bad woman in this case. I loved she was pure evil, but her portrayal of pure evil was like just so witty and hilarious. And she just Blake Lively did a phenomenal job. So I love that. And then also fantastic use of MOP's ante up. Because we talked about John Cena earlier. I will always believe that John Cena just completely ripped his intro music off of Ante Up. I love that scene. I mean, there's so many scenes in this movie that, and again, it's one of those things. It's much different than Black Klansman, obviously, but as a comedy / thriller type of deal, there were tense scenes. And the comedy did a really good job of breaking that up. And this was more of a comedy than Black Klansman was, but it worked really well. Paul Feig, I don't think I dislike him as much as you guys, just because I like Bridesmaids so much. But this definitely, the fact I didn't know he was capable of something like this. And then I talked about Ante Up, but also just the music in general in this movie, just like Black Klansman, was really well done, really got you into the movie. It was a little more stylish in this movie, obviously, because I think this is a more stylish type of film. But yeah, loved it. 90. I don't have any major complaints other than, you know, as a movie, I can't put it above that. I mean, I think it did its job. I wouldn't give it a 100 because it didn't make me leave and say like this is a once in generation type of movie. But for what it was and how it came out of left field almost, like, yeah, we saw trailers, but I don't think anybody expected it to be this clever and this good.
I thought in the trailers, I was like, that's going to suck.
Yeah, me too.
What the fuck is that? That's garbage. But no, ended up being great. PFT, what about you?
I'm going to give it an 88. Now, that's with the caveat that I didn't finish it. But okay. I did read the Wikipedia entry for the plot.
There we go.
Okay. I watched most of it. I ran out of time this week. I was otherwise occupied the last couple days putting out fires on the internet. But I really enjoyed the fact that they used the plot device, or I guess the background device for her character, of having somebody be a mommy vlogger, and it didn't feel contrived and forced.
Yeah.
And like we're going to work in the internet into a movie. You know, like a lot of times you see a movie like that and it's very clearly just like all over the place. Like a good example would be Truth or Dare.
Yep.
That we really enjoyed a couple months ago.
Fucking great.
Where they
movie.
Worked in like a YouTube star. but with this it fit her personality completely as a character. It fit her completely as an actress, and it actually like helped to advance the plot of the movie a little bit. I thought it was really well done. And I mean, Trill's absolutely right about Blake Lively. She was like the hot version of Cruella de Vil, like the perfect villain, just like very assertive, very charismatic, and you kind of love to hate her a little bit. As opposed, well, you can go both ways. Like what Trill said about a mark of a good movie being you love the bad person. You could also make the argument that if you really hate the bad person a lot, like Sharon Stone in Casino, she was just like, there were times where I just wanted to look away from the screen when she was on and like plug my ears up, but she was doing an awesome job in that role. But with Blake, it's kind of the other way. She was like, she was perfect in every single way in that role, and I really liked it.
And it's dark too. There's some shit that happens. Obviously, you've seen it, just like, you know, Anna Kendrick getting with Blake Lively's, like, at the time,
widower.
Yeah, widower. It's like, you don't root for all of them, really. Like, there's some fucked up shit with all of them, but in the end, it gives you somebody to root for. And I think going back to the internet thing, which is amazing that Paul Feig, after Ghostbusters being such a massive disconnect with, like, anything present day or like millennials, that he just nailed it with that, because I like the way it set the table every time she had a new vlog.
Yeah.
Like whether she was in a different kitchen.
And the counter went up.
Things around her, the things she was making had to do with it. It ended up working into the plot where she was like sending out a coded message through it. Like, it was really cool how it set the table. And also, if you go back and watch, I actually paid attention in the middle. Big YouTube fan over here. You can see the subscriber count.
The viewer
going
count's
up.
Going up, yeah, every
you
time. Could,
like,
yeah.
It was like just these little things that added to, which is funny because the movie just came out recently, Searching, that we talked about, mm-hmm. that also used a screen in a much different way. But like, it's just crazy that two movies so closely together utilized a computer screen and like something so new and different, and did it in a way that was seamless and worked very well with the movie. Mm-hmm. I was a big fan of that. That was a very small detail in like the grand scheme of things compared to like the great acting and script and pacing, but it really helped the movie along. I was a big fan of that. Did anyone figure out the twist before it happened?
I had the first twist telegraphed.
That she
second
was alive?
Twist. That I had 100% set. And then the twist that like her plot or whatever with Golding to like try and like undermine her. And I had that figured out. But then the second twist of her having the camera, I didn't figure out until it started happening. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
She's recording somewhere else. And then that I figured out. Another random thing I want to point out is that for a movie that was essentially about moms being brought together for their kids, perfectly low amount of kids involved, I would say.
Yeah.
The kids aren't overwhelming. You don't have to see too much shitty kid acting.
Basically just two.
Yeah, just like a couple scenes with kids and that's it. Mm-hmm. Not too much kids, which I appreciated a ton.
Big kids hater. Trill, you're a father. Did you want to see more parents having to struggle with their kids and deal with those everyday life activity?
Well, you know, it's tough because I'm a daddy vlogger, so there were some inaccuracies with the portrayal of parental vlogging, but I let it slide for the sake of suspension of disbelief. So yeah, I didn't have, as a dad, I didn't have any qualms with this.
He's Hoboken Dad on YouTube.
Hoboken Dad 98. Yeah, there's a random number in there.
Yeah.
People are like, wait, was he born in 98 and is Hoboken Dad already? Like, he's doing well.
Anything else that you pulled from the movie that you really liked? Trill? I mean, it's another movie we set up and told you we loved. Expectations met for this one?
Yeah. I don't know if I had much. Like you're saying, the trailer didn't make it look all that great. I think it made it look overly serious in the trailer. And then you got to see the final product and it was a good balance. What I really liked is, and I didn't see the plot twist at the end coming with the live broadcast, but I thought somehow Blake Lively was going to get away with it, which initially just like by, you know, having the gun and doing something, yeah. And I didn't know she was going to broadcast it. But the conversation they had about like being best friends while that was happening was like, was pretty fucking funny. So it's stuff like that in the movie I liked. I would recommend this to my wife, which is one of the higher marks.
Ooh, yeah. I was about to ask.
It's one of the higher marks because she is a very discerning critic. We do not have the same film taste, which I think is good for a relationship sometimes. Because I get to watch what I want to watch and she watches what she wants to watch. But this is a movie I feel like is in her wheelhouse. I think it's a movie everyone can enjoy. Maybe not kids, though. Might be a little heavy for them. But anyone over the age of 25, I think, will like this.
You don't think kids would be on board with the incest scene?
Yeah, brotherfucker was a great all-time insult.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and that just goes to show how great Anna Kendrick's portrayal of this character was and screen presence was on this character, because she had sex with her half-brother, and you weren't all that grossed out by the character because you still rooted for her and supported her.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, the sex scene was pretty hot.
Yeah, it was a good sex scene.
For being honest. It's a good sex scene.
What did her...
I'm going to look past this.
What did her husband... What is he from?
The actual husband?
Yeah, the grizzled husband. He's in something else recently.
Yeah, I don't know.
And he just... He's always the grizzled guy.
Just the grizzled, cucked husband?
I don't know. Anyway, audience, they gave it an 88 with UPFT.
Yes.
Grizzly cucks.
Sounds like they didn't see all of it either. It gets better at the end. You guys missed out.
Who... God, I don't. Oh, Linda Cardellini's in this, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. For like 5 seconds.
Did you like her? Did you like Linda Cardellini with her tattoos?
Yeah, I enjoyed that part.
She's playing with a huge ass Bowie knife the entire time.
Oh no, go ahead, continue.
Oh no, did you think? No, I don't have any other thoughts.
Yeah, he's the villain in 50 Shades.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
and he Jack.
I mean, I'm pretty confident they're like, shit, we need the husband. And he was on set for 50 Shades, and they're like, he's like, I gotta shave. No, come back over. Come back over.
He plays a sex depraved balloon in every movie.
He looked exactly to a T. The scruff, his eyes were like dead. It was,
Incel
also,
Jack.
Dennis Nylon is an all-time great name. Dennis
Nylon.
It would be the name of like a strength and conditioning coach for a max school, I feel like.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Rupert Friend was so funny as that guy. He has such a great comedic talent. And in what do you call it? Death of Stalin as Stalin's son. So unbelievably funny. You're not even a person. It was so, that is such great delivery in that movie.
Also a great name.
Rupert Friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't he play Hitman?
Yes, he did. He's also in Homeland.
Wait, yeah. He plays a hitman in Homeland.
Yeah.
The CIA guy. He's in Hitman Agent 47, I believe.
Yeah, he is.
I thought that was Timothy
Oliphant. Oliphant's the first one, and then he took over for him in the better Hitman.
And he's Quinn on Homeland.
Yeah.
And
Quinn was awesome.
He was awesome. I felt so bad for that character.
All the time. He's just constantly getting knocked down.
Just got shit kicked in a different way until he was just like totally disabled.
Yeah. Like it doesn't matter where he was. They started out in the U.S., then they move, and like he's in Germany getting his shit kicked in.
Bad luck, Quinn.
Yeah, just constantly bad color Quinn. Oh, we should speak about another Quinn probably soon.
Harley Quinn?
Yeah, that's the news we missed last week. The other Joker movie.
Fuck it, we've moved on. if we've missed your news, make new news later in the week and we'll get to you. All right. Simple favor, 90 for me, 91 from Ken Jack, 88 from the audience. Yeah,
definitely passes the Bechdel test, too.
I don't know the reference.
The Bechdel test? You guys know the Bechdel test?
You don't know the Bechdel test?
No.
Wow, you guys call yourself a movie podcast?
That went right over mine and Ken Jackson.
Oh, no, it's in a movie if there are two female characters that have a conversation with each other, not about a man.
Oh,
damn.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Wasn't this a very... I put this... Something... They had this conversation, or this was brought up recently for something. I forget what it was. A very mainstream movie, and somebody got very woke on it. But way to be woke.
Thank you.
Yeah, you see, you've now dropped two late nuggets in both of these reviews.
Yeah,
the Joe Kendall one is actually more important than the best.
Yes, definitely way more important.
I need to think of a name for that test, too, if your movie mentions Joe Kendall or not.
So you gave it an 88 as well. Mm. Super buttered. Trill Bollins gave it a 90. So both these movies, go see them. If you haven't seen A Simple Favor or Black Klansman, see them both. High recommend. You may not like them both. I don't know. They're both, in a sense, kind of dark comedies. One with a much more serious subject matter than the other, but they're kind of the same cut in some senses. So definitely go see those. All right, we got to rank top 10 movies that we dislike that people love. But first, we have a word from our sponsor, Robin Hood, with Taron Egerton and Jamie Foxx.
Yep.
Hey, everybody. I'm Lenny Nails Dykstra, here to talk to you about my brand new financial investing app. Crude language. For a one-time fee of $200,000 clams, you can invest in my fucking app, which gives you my real-time advice on when to invest in crude oil. It also has a bonus feature where you can press a button that sends a text message to a random broad on your phone telling them, smile more, sweetie.
Hey, Lenny, how about instead of boxing yourself in with oil, you download the Robinhood app instead? It's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all without commission fees. It almost makes too much sense.
You want sense? Sense? You want sense? I don't carry change, but I have like $89 in crumpled up bills here in my Velcro wallet.
Look, Lenny, Robinhood is just really easy to understand with simplified graphs and charts showing you market data in layman's terms. Some brokerages I've used have charged up to $10 per transaction, and Robinhood hasn't charged me for them even once.
Look, I don't want to blow my glob early on this, but we also have a new feature we're debuting on the beta. We got a men's lifestyle section that gives you advice on interesting topics like how to talk to women when they have their headphones on and which rideshare companies are Second Amendment friendly. It also has a stat sheet from some of the games we used to play back in the mid-80s when me and Kurt Schilling were in the locker room and we'd do anacondas with our penises, and it would just be like, who can choke the other guy's penis out with your penis first until they have to tap out? And frankly, I won more often than I didn't, and so just all sorts of stuff that we got ready to come out in versions 2 and 3.
Well, Robinhood is giving listeners free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. So you can sign up at lightscamera.robinhood.com. That's lightscamera.robinhood.com.
Thank you to Robinhood. Not the movie, apparently. I screwed that up. But just a great skit, as always. So thanks to them. Okay, here we go. Top 10 movies that we dislike that people love. I'll start off my 10 through 6. Number 10, Prisoner of Azkaban. Sorry, pisses people off, but I'm sorry, I don't like that movie. I mean, say what you want, there's no fucking villain. And I'm not a fan of the pronoun villain. He said she was Sirius Black. I don't love Prisoner of Azkaban. Sorry. I like all the other Harry Potter movies, though. Number 9, Gravity. Technologically brilliant movie. Didn't do it for me. I'm just not a big Sandy Bullock fan. Number 8, Edward Scissorhands. Never connected with Edward Scissorhands. This could be a whole Johnny Depp list for me at this point. Just did not love Edward Scissorhands. And I do like some Tim Burton movies. Number 7, this one might piss Trill off, I think. I think he's a big fan of this movie. Dumb and Dumber. I just don't like Dumb and Dumber. I'm sorry.
It's not very rewatchable.
I'm sorry. I don't think it's one of the funnier comedies. I think comedies nowadays, maybe because I'm a woke millennial, I like the Paul Rudd type movies, the Judd Apatow movies much more. So that's on there. And then number 6, Interstellar. I think Interstellar is wildly overrated. It's maybe my least favorite Christopher Nolan movie. I think he's done so many better things. Inception was leagues better than Interstellar. So that's my 10 through 6. Ken Jack, 10 through 6.
My number 10 is every Wes Anderson movie ever made. My number 9 is Grease. The songs are good, but the plot is kind of crazy. It's just Sandy changing everything about herself because she likes a boy. I don't think that's a good message to give anybody. Number 8, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory remake, 2005. Apparently, everybody loved it. I didn't realize it until I saw the Rotten Tomatoes score.
So that I almost put that on mine as well, but I thought, this is too much of a strike. Avatar's not on my list. I think people have turned on Avatar, so I feel like that'd be an unfair move.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Fuck that remake.
It's up there, and it's just kind of promoting slave labor in the modern age, and I think that's one of those movies. There's parts of movies, if you remake them, you should not put back. Like, you can't remake Ace Ventura right now, because the entire big punchline of the movie is the fact that he made out with a trans woman and, grosses himself out. You probably couldn't remake that punchline. So you can leave parts out of movies if you're going to remake them. Number 7, Gone with the Wind. It's just a racist movie. Just never was good. I don't think it was ever even good when it was made, except for the technical aspects. Number 6, Beauty and the Beast, the cartoon. Locking up women in cages to give them Stockholm Syndrome, actually bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that for a fact.
Okay.
Problematic.
There's people who I know who don't like Beauty and the Beast either, and they were like, I rewatched it for the live action, didn't like it. Fair. Okay. PFT, 10 through 6.
I also had Beauty and the Beast on mine.
Nice.
I've got Donnie Darko at number 9.
I like that.
Avatar at number 8. But is Avatar really a movie that people like, or did people finally
decide?
It's the
highest grossing movie of all time, so
yeah,
I feel like
true.
It should be
on there.
Okay, so I got Avatar, Lost in Translation. Not a fan. It was just a guy getting drunk in Tokyo and dancing, and you couldn't hear what they were saying, and then the whisper at the end was a cop-out, in my opinion. Was that number 7?
Yeah.
Right there? Mm-hmm. Number 6 is Man on Wire.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And that's because...
What a reference.
That's mostly just because I have a fear of heights. And watching that movie actually made my palms
sweat. Wait, the documentary
sweat.
Or...
The documentary.
Man on Wire. Yeah, Man on Fire was Denzel.
That's
Denzel.
Man on the Wire, the documentary.
So Man on Wire, they made the actual movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They made a movie out of the documentary?
they took the potentially greatest documentary ever made. And that's not for me.
Yeah.
But a lot of people call it the best documentary ever made. Won an Oscar, 100% of Rotten Tomatoes and everywhere. And they just made a movie out of it.
Jesus.
Why?
No, I'm glad I haven't, because I'm not a big JGL fan myself. But yeah, that movie, it actually made my testicles hurt watching some of the scenes. That's like, I have this bodily reaction to heights, to watching a guy do something like that, where it makes me, I experience pain watching it.
That's me watching Russian parkour videos on YouTube.
Yes, exactly. Are the tower climbing videos?
Exactly, yeah.
Have you seen
and
those?
And like Shanghai and stuff, and they're just climbing the world's tallest construction site.
So these assholes, you know, when you see like a TV tower or a cell phone tower, there's a blinking red bulb at the top of it. It's one guy's job to climb up to the top of it, and he gets paid like $1,500 to climb up there and then climb back down after he changes the light. And they have GoPros on all the time, so you can just like watch YouTube videos. And I torture myself by making myself watch these.
I can't watch them. They're fucking horrifying. But okay, Man on Wire. That was a lot of left field. I like that. That's why we do these lists. Mm-hmm. Trill, you're not going to give yours because we're running out of time. I'm not going to let you. I apologize, but you're going to have 5 through 1.
Do I just list my 5 through 1 right now?
Nah, we'll get to you in a minute. We're going to go 5. We're going to do our normal 5 through 1. Don't
Skipped.
Worry. You're on hold.
Oh, okay.
You're on hold.
Okay. Do it.
All right, audience, 10 through 6. Number 10, Slumdog Millionaire.
Ooh.
Yeah. Impressive. Fuck you.
That's a good movie.
That's my fuck you to the audience. I actually had that written down. Fuck you. I meant to say that. That's bullshit. I know movies are opinions, but...
Jai-ho, baby.
Fucking great movie. Number 9, this one not shocking, Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, that's not shocking.
You can totally see that. A cringy movie.
It was good at the time, though.
Yeah, I'll say that.
Big Lebowski, number 8. I saw a lot of people say Big Lebowski.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Another weird, different movie, though.
That's one where I think people are confusing the actual movie with the cult that the movie created, because I think the cult around the movie is very annoying, but the movie itself... I still find very enjoyable.
Yeah, there's people out there that say it's the best movie of all time, and like it's just not. And I would get making that cult kind of like making you hate it. So I get that response.
If you take like the average person and then just maybe add like 20% more IQ, instead of dropping quotes from Old School, they drop quotes from Big Lebowski.
Yep, exactly.
Big Lebowski, number 8. Number 7, Interstellar as well. Which I like seeing on there. Number 6, Blade Runner. Not the new one, the original Blade Runner, which, you know what? I respect what Blade Runner is. Don't love it. Kind of a fucking boring movie where nothing happens. And that's why I love the new one so much. And the new one's incredible. One of my favorite movies of all time. But the old Blade Runner, just where Harrison Ford's looking at things closer and closer under a
Hell
magnifying
yeah.
glass from a script. Yeah.
Tears in the Rain,
what
baby.
What does he say? Enhance. What does he say? Yeah. Something like that.
Oh, look inside. Yeah. Give me my family back.
all right. We'll do number 5 for me. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Ooh.
Just people like
going
that movie.
Going in on the Potterverse.
People love that I mean, but that's the thing. I just rewatched all the Harry Potters after 2. Loved all of them with the exception of Prisoner of Azkaban, which I don't even hate.
I think Jeff's
just
not woke.
Dislike.
Yeah. Because he doesn't like J.K. Rowling movies.
Fuck Fantastic Beasts, though. Not a good movie. Unlikable characters. Newt Scamander, awkward motherfucker. I just don't like that movie. And at the end, it's Johnny Depp. Cool.
Great reveal at the point it was made.
Oh, Colin Farrell's actually Johnny Depp? Wow.
Damn.
All right, whatever.
I do think, though, maybe there's 2 really not that great Harry Potter movies, even if you're batting 2 for 9. Or reverse that, 7 for 9 is what you'd be batting. Well,
it's good.
I'm playing reverse baseball, folks. We're striking out as good as hell. that's not a bad track record.
I said on our Reddit, I said pound for pound, it's better than Star Wars. Probably better than Marvel, too, pound for pound. Marvel has a lot of bad movies. Star Wars has plenty of bad movies, considering. So I like Harry Potter. Just I don't like Fantastic Beasts. All right, Ken Jack, number 5.
My number 5 is Captain America, the First Avenger.
Ooh.
I've seen this movie a lot. It gets a ton of love. I just don't get it. It's not very good.
Go ahead.
It's just not very good. And one line that always sticks out to me is when he's fighting Red Skull. So he's supposed to be fighting like this fascist dictator guy, Red Skull. And Red Skull says like, I've seen the future and there are no flags. Which like, damn, that sounds kind of cool. Like humans unifying under a single banner, like almost like Star Trek or something. Like everyone's just humans. That sounds rad. And then Captain America's like, not in my future. Like, oh, nationalist Captain America actually sounds pretty bad. And he says other lines throughout the Avengers franchise and everything. And I just think, in general, Captain America, bad CGI, weird plot, and weird subplots with the romance with Hayley Atwell's character. Not a very great movie.
No, and you know what? That's a weird movie because that movie, I feel like... people like it more because the other Captain Americas are
very
good.
Yeah.
It's like they haven't rewatched. They're like, oh, well, that one was good, right? This one's great, right? Yeah. That one was good. PFT, number 5.
My number 5 is Inside Out.
Oh. Ooh, you're going to get hate for that.
Yeah, well, bring it on, because the big problem with that was the movie that they showed before the movie was better than Inside Out. The two islands that were like in love with each other in the middle of the ocean singing songs to each other.
Yep.
I want to lava you. You remember that?
Yeah.
And it was heartbreaking. I cried at the end
of
that.
And then you were like, let's just go.
And then I was like, you know what? This Inside Out's not as good. I just want to see more of the islands. I
felt the same way about Olaf's Crazy Adventure.
Oh.
Before whatever movie that was.
Trill, number 5.
Number 5 for me. Number 5 on my list. Old number 5 as I pull up the list, which I always seem to close out. It's Frozen. Speaking of Olaf.
Oh, there you go.
I don't like Frozen. I don't think it's a good movie. And I realize the audience that loves this movie can't drive yet. So, yeah, it's a kid's movie. But It also, I didn't think the music was that good. I thought it had maybe one good song. And if we're talking about Disney CGI animated features in the last couple of years, Moana was like 40 times better than Frozen, yet Frozen gets the most love. So everyone loves Frozen. I just don't get it. I didn't think it was good. It wasn't a good movie to me.
Trill's actually Johnny Travolta.
Now come on stage, Dee Doo Manzo.
Missed that.
That was bizarre.
All right. Number five for the listeners. Or excuse me, the audience. Fuck. Elf. I put Elf on there.
Whoa. Yeah. That's kind of out of nowhere.
That's mean. There's actually another Christmas movie on here.
Maybe it's proliferation because it's on all the time in holiday season.
I kind of agree with him.
Oh.
It's a good movie.
I don't think Elf is that great.
Damn, that's a discussion for another time. We'll move on to number four. We'll save that one for the holidays because we need more holiday content after we burned the whole best Christmas movie thing last year. Number four for me, the entire Hobbit trilogy. Mm. Like I've said, they stretched one book into three movies when the other books were all one movie and they were all masterpieces. This was just a garbage money grab from Peter Jackson. Could have been an awesome movie, even though The Hobbit is like more of a kid's book than The Lord of the Rings, but I did not like The Hobbit movies at all.
Tom Bombadil Trill. That was one of my favorite threads we've ever had.
He's reclusive. He doesn't say anything ever. He sings. Like, what's the deal with this guy?
Ken Jack, number four.
My number four, Hunchback of Notre Dame, normalized cuck culture. And that's just not a good thing towards today's society. Mm-hmm. He saves the day, and ultimately somebody else gets to fuck his lady. And I think that's not cool.
PFT, number four.
All right, my number four is Inception.
Ooh.
Now, you explained this earlier to us. Now, go with it.
I haven't seen Inception, but I know enough about the movie to understand how to reference Inception. I think that's all that you really need to know from it. It just seems like a very confusing movie.
I can't wait for something wild to happen in sports, and PFT will tweet like, oh, is the totem going to stop spinning?
Yeah.
And one person challenges you on it, and you're just going to be like, oh.
Yeah, never so. Actually, it's partially that, and also I don't like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. So. Yeah.
That's true. You did
JGL
say
JGL hater.
Yeah. It was a little of a tease earlier, I guess.
Yeah, it was.
I like that. Trebons, number four.
Donnie Darko. I'm with PFT. Mm. Donnie Darko was the favorite movie of the pretentious AP U.S. history crowd in high school. I don't think it's that great. I think the people love Mad World and just went from there. And I'll take that to my deathbed. I don't like that movie at all.
But Trill, they wore the weird bunny outfit.
Oh yeah, how creepy was that? So creepy, guys.
They like definitely original, like, people who like that movie think they're very fucking smart.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Who want to be like people like the movie and don't think that, but there are a lot who do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number four for the audience, A Christmas Story, which is I thought that'd be higher. I think A Christmas Story is a fucking classic. I think people who hate that are doing it to be cool. That's all I'll say.
Mm.
Number three for me, Spider-Man 2. I'm sorry, the movie doesn't age well. Don't fucking tell me that's one of the best comic book movies ever made.
Not even close.
There's a lot of dumb leaps. It's not as serious as I thought. Doc Ock is fine, but like he loses his power because he's sad? Get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come at me with, oh, whatever. None of the Marvel movies are as good as Spider-Man 2.
Erroneous on every
trash. Count. Not awful, but I definitely dislike it because people love that movie. Ken Jack, number three.
My number three is Team America World Police. I don't vibe with puppets. Don't vibe with puppets bit.
Okay, not sure.
And it creeps me out. I get the humor is funny. I think even now when you look back at it, a little problematic in a couple different phases. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's just, even at the point, probably was a little problematic. And I'd never found it very funny as a kid or whatever, and just rewatched it, I think, within the last year. Just, it doesn't hold any sway with me.
I'm a big Trey Parker.
I know you are. I knew you weren't going to like this.
Yeah. I mean, I love Book of Mormon. But, I mean, the Matt Damon thing will probably always make me laugh.
Do you know, do you have a preference between Trey Parker and Matt Stone?
No.
Does anybody, know how to differentiate the two?
One is the wild hair. I don't know which one it is.
Trey Parker pretty much does everything, I think. And Matt Stone does a couple voices, but Trey Parker is. If you ever watch that documentary they had on Comedy Central, it's very evident that Trey Parker is the
brains,
the big brain behind that. And I'm sure Matt Stone contributes and is funny in his own right, but I think Trey Parker runs the show. Trey Parker's the blonde one, and Matt Stone has the darker curly hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. PFT number three.
My number three is American Hustle.
Ooh, yeah, I like that popular pick.
Love that pick.
I just thought it was too disjointed.
Yeah, I liked it, but I know people gave me a lot of shit for that. People hated that movie. People were very excited it didn't win any Oscars.
Yeah, I remember that.
It had a lot of hype because David O. Russell had just made Silver Linings Playbook with Jennifer Lawrence, I think. It's a big reason why.
It had a good cast, too.
Did have a great cast.
Dynamite. Trebon's number three.
My number three is Rushmore. So Ken Jack mentioned all the Wes Anderson movies. I happen to like Wes Anderson, but Rushmore, it's kind of ironic because Rushmore was his second feature film. Bottle Rocket was his first, and Rushmore really set the tone for how he was going to make movies going forward in the future. But it's just a little too over the top. And I know what you're saying, like, Wes Anderson's always over the top. Yeah, but there's just something about Rushmore, Jason Schwartzman and Bill Murray's character that's just overly pretentious, more so to me than any other Wes Anderson movie. I think it inspired a generation of kids to take like 80 different club activities in high school and wear a velvet blazer in high school and like try to act like you're 32 when you should just be wearing a Finish Line hoodie.
Like you. So,
and I don't like the movie. Yeah. It's just like me.
All right, audience number three, Titanic. So Titanic, I get that. That seems like a very blanket answer. Jimmy Cameron's rolling over in his grave. He's not in, but he's mad, I'm sure. I don't hate Titanic.
I don't think I could say I dislike Titanic.
I can see it. I can see people disliking it, though. People talk about it a lot, so I get it. So we're big dumb idiots and overbooked our studio, so we actually have to fly through these last two. See, we're not the best podcasters in the world. We're good. We're not best, yeah. So we'll do two and one. Everyone rattle off your two and your one. Number two for me, Shooter. I hate Shooter.
Okay. You're going to get a lot of hate for that.
I fucking hate Shooter. Not a good movie. Not even a good Mark Wahlberg movie.
Wow, it's a low bar.
That is an indictment.
I'm sorry. It's not even a good... I mean, it's not Transformers.
But do you think that Shooter's a movie that a lot of people love?
Yes.
Yes, 100%.
It's a classic like TNT and
FX movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like Shooter. I've never understood it. And number one for me... The worst baseball movie ever made. Stupid fucking movie. I hate it. No, I didn't put Tin Cup on here. I was thinking Tin Cup
when you said the sports first.
I love railing on it. Fuck Rookie of the Year. What a stupid movie. I hate that movie. I hate that it gets put up there with other great baseball movies. I don't like Henry Rowan Gardner. I don't like, what's his face?
Busey?
Busey Stern. Daniel Stern's problematic pitching coach character. Gary Busey pitches every fucking day somehow.
Is he problematic, the coach?
Yeah, I think he's problematic, right? I'm just trying to defend my take a little more here.
You just don't like
the
Cubs.
Hey, pardon my take.
I like that.
And then a closer does not change a team season that late into the year. I'm sorry. I know that's a big literal take on Rookie of the Year, but there are some really
Cubs won the World Series with Chapman.
That's true.
He did kind of blow
not just
game
because
seven,
of him.
But...
Not just because of him. Fuck Rookie of the Year. That's my number one.
That's a stupid take.
I actually hate Rookie of the Year.
It's a bad
the rest of these I don't
outright hate.
Bad
I,
take.
Okay, that's fair. I know.
It spawned an entire series of copycat movies like Little Big League, Angels in the Outfield. None of
better
which
movie.
I actually don't know which movie came out first, but
I believe Doc Brown Angels in the Outfield more than I believe them turning their season around with one pitcher and a closer.
Yeah.
I digress. Okay. Ken Jack,
you
number
just
two and
didn't
one.
Play baseball when you were young.
Yeah,
it's very.
Clearly didn't play the sport. My number two is Pearl Harbor. It was like the big war movie that came out after Saving Private Ryan, where everyone was like, "Oh fuck,
wait,
this is gonna be the."
Nobody liked Pearl Harbor.
Yes, people do like Pearl Harbor. No. People do like
Pearl
Harbor.
Nobody liked Pearl Harbor.
People like Pearl Harbor, dude. Every single time I've ever brought up Pearl Harbor on Twitter, I get 100,000 tweets like, "Yo, fucking Ben Affleck ruled in that movie, dude. Kate Beckinsale much? Tom Sizemore?" I get this all the time.
Talk here. Let's put this in the parking lot and come back to it.
Okay.
Press for time.
All right. Number one.
Oh, number one, Avatar. Just had to put it up there. People do love it. Highest grossing movie of all time.
God, I wish I put that on there. I didn't put it on there, though. I can't cheat. PFT, number two and one.
My number two is going to be Kill Bill Part 2. I was a huge fan of Kill Bill Part 1.
Very good.
And I think that's really where this comes in. It didn't live up to the first chapter.
Yeah.
So my number one is Boyhood.
Ooh,
yeah,
a lot of hype on that. It's
I went there. It was one of those movies that was described as ambitious before anything else, and it was ambitious, and it was like a little bit different in the fact that they followed a kid growing up, but there were no inciting incidents. There was no real like...
No drama, nothing
keeps
you in.
There was no drama, didn't hook me. It's one of those movies I walked out of, and I thought, that was pretty good. That was really interesting. And then the more I think about it, it's like, if somebody told me they were going to watch Boyhood... I would leave wherever that place was. Yeah. I do not want to watch it again.
Wow. Okay.
Like the take.
I do like the Boyhood pick. Trill, two and one.
Napoleon Dynamite, it's stupid, and the number one is Rango. Everyone loves Rango. Everyone loves Rango. I find Rango to be super boring. I do not like Rango.
Johnny Depp has a lot of love on this list.
There's a lot of Johnny Depp hate on this list.
I just realized, like, when we tweet these out with, like, our list,
it's going to be Johnny Depp,
Well, it's going to be a lot of Johnny Depp, and it's also going to – people are just going to be like, wow, this is the most hipster discussion that they've ever had. It's like movies that are mainstream that we actually don't like.
Fucking Rango. I love that pick. 2-1 for the audience. Number two, this bothers me. Get a bigger brain, folks. Birdman.
I see that, because it did get a lot of love, and that's a movie that's very insider Hollywood, where it's all inside the actor industry, and like it was very much like a pat on the back to themselves.
I just love Michael Keaton.
I get it.
And the drums.
The fucking jazz tones.
I didn't like it that much, but I didn't dislike it enough to put it on the list movies I hate. If we went for like most overrated movies, it would look like a completely different list for me.
For sure. Mm,
yes, 100%.
And I changed it from hate to dislike, because the only thing I hate on here is Rookie of the Year. Do you have a guess on number one? Very recent movie. Very recent.
With no, like 2017 or 2018?
2017. Shape of Water.
Yep. Shape of Water, okay. Number one. In a landslide.
How many people saw Shape of Water? It made like $40 million.
Yeah,
none of these people even fucking saw it. It did barely recoup its fucking budget.
Do you guys mean the fish sex movie?
Hey.
They read like three jokes on Twitter and voted for it?
Dickory dog.
No respect. All right. That's it. Next week, before I thank PFT here, we're going to be reviewing a ton of different movies. I'm going to read off just a list of what we might review. We haven't nailed it down yet, but Adrift, American Animals, Blindspotting, Eighth Grade for sure, Gringo, Hotel Artemis, Kin, Leave No Trace, Mandy, Peppermint, Slenderman, let's see here, what else? Tully, Unfriended Dark Web, I definitely want to review because I'm sure it's terrible, White Boy Rick, Unsane, so a lot of options. So we'll be doing that next week, kind of just a mishmash, talking about our favorite movies of the year so far. PFT, thanks for coming on, and thanks for, you know, making us a podcast here, obviously, once again.
Thanks for everything that you guys do. You guys make it very easy to executive produce.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we're glad we can make your life easy, except for when your mind's in a pretzel over what we bleed from Ken Jack.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Send me the unedited versions, so I don't have to bother you.
For sure. Well, you know what we bleeped tonight? Mostly problematic ad reads where we just said the wrong thing.
Promo code take.
All right. For Trill and Ken Jack and PFT, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on Sunday.
Sweet.
These fucking guys, and do a sign off.
I tried to do a text to voice robotic voice, and it didn't work. So have a good week at the box office. Shame. I know I-